I always just start out with
sips this water.
Yeah, this really, that was a terrible time to start. Wow. This is...
Hello.
We are doing this lamplit, late night.
Late night edition.
We're feeling a little tired.
A little sassy.
A little done.
Yeah. Usually you guys get us like midday on a Sunday, and so we're like nice and relaxed. We've heard from the Lord. Our hearts are open. Today
was not that day.
It is Tuesday evening.
Yeah.
Oh no. The vibe's probably gonna be a little different.
Yeah. I kinda like it already though. It's half deliriousness. Yeah. Delirium.
Yeah.
And half just commitment to actually recording this mm-hmm. once a week.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. We're making this happen.
How have you been?
I've been really tired.
Same.
I took Isaac to the doctor today and found out that he has a cold, which is good, because I thought he might have some sort of infection, because he's had he had some gunk coming out of his eyes, and like, he's had a cough. It was a whole thing. And he had a fever last night. He was up like 5 million times. I'm the chosen parent at night. So, like, he sleeps in his bed, but when he's, well, not every night, but especially when he's sick, he'll, like, wake up. He woke up in, like, a night terror last night, too.
That's scary.
It was a whole thing. Like, night terror. I didn't know it was a night terror, so we're, like, trying to wake him up for 10 minutes, which apparently you're also not supposed to do. Learned my lesson. And then he had a fever for, like, half the night. And all he wanted to do was, like, lay on me or, like, roll over and just, like, ask for a bottle and then didn't want the bottle. And it was just, like, a wow. whole... I did not sleep a lot. The, like, second time he woke up, I looked over, like, I rolled over and I was like, Brandon, what time is it? And he's like, it's 12:45. And I was like, no.
Oh, oh no.
It's so early.
Oh.
So, anyway, he just has a cold.
Wow.
All and I'm tired.
I wish when I had a cold that I can scream for my mother and she would bottle feed me also. That sounds like a dream.
Right? Now I'm just hoping I don't get sick. I don't want
to
be sick.
Don't
again.
Say that to me. Everybody at work is sick and everyone's waiting for me to get sick. And I've told them, you do realize I will get sick, but on my days off, which is not now. It is in a few days,
mm-hmm.
and here I am, not sick yet, and I know it's going to hit me at one point.
You're going to crash.
I'm going to crash and burn. I'm terrified. They're all... Oh, a lot of the girls have only had it for 24 hours.
Okay.
So if I'm getting what they're getting, it's a 24-hour... I'll be down and out,
okay.
and then back up again okay. in less than a day. But if it's anything like what some other people I know have, I'm terrified.
Yeah, it's not fun.
Yeah.
I feel like I just got over being sick, too. Like, half of January, we were sick. And then I was like, cool.
You were.
Yeah,
we were. You were, like, locked up in your apartment for the longest time.
I was freaking quarantined off social media. Like, at least this time I'll be on Instagram, but
yeah.
I already, like, had to miss story time today with Isaac.
Aw, at the library?
I look forward to that every week, and it's fine.
I'm sure he's also bummed too, because he knows his routine, and so mm-hmm. him not getting able to do the things he normally does is probably sucky.
He goes stir crazy.
Yeah,
the nice/good thing is we have plans for him to spend the night on Thursday with his grandparents,
mm-hmm.
and then Friday they'll watch him like they usually do. So I'm really hoping that he's like on the upswing
Ooh.
By Thursday.
So when you pass him off...
Yeah, I mean, and he's been sick like this. He's had this cold for like a week already. So I'm thinking by the time Thursday rolls around, hopefully, I don't know, he will be better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dang.
Mm-hmm. But hopefully I'll sleep on Thursday.
Wow. I hope you do too. That's a good segue, I think, into what we're about to talk about.
Yes.
There is... Well, okay. I'll just start with, I put out a question on my story about how do you find work-life balance?
Oh.
And you know what a lot of people said?
They don't.
Yes. It was, that is exactly what they all said. I got a lot of, what's that? What's that? I got, you don't?
Ooh,
I was like, okay.
I got, please help me. I got,
oh wow.
There are a few good ones actually. So, our friend, I mean, I'll just say her name cause we know her and yeah. I love her. Jenna said, you toss the idea of finding balance and try to find a rhythm that works for you instead, which yes. I really liked that answer.
I agree with that.
Yeah. And then, another person said, realizing life is more than money and work will always be there. Well, that was very deep.
That's
very
good too. That's kind of how I feel.
Yeah. But a lot of people were saying like they don't have any work-life balance, and that made me sad because you and I were talking about.
Does this mean that people just like work all the time then?
I don't know if it means that they work all the time or they don't feel like they have a good balance between going to work and having a personal life.
Yeah, I can see that.
But
it's hard when you have like a full-time job. Like if you work 40 hours Monday through Friday, even if you don't, if you work 40 hours in any week, however your schedule lines out, like
that's still 40 hours out of your week.
That's a long time to be at work. Yeah. And to not be at home. And then you have to factor in, like, sleeping and buying your groceries and all of that. It doesn't leave a lot of time for personal enrichment unless you, like, make it a point to do that. I'm trying to think because I think I lean towards the, like, finding a rhythm.
Yeah.
But the way I found this rhythm that I'm in right now, which I feel like I have to tweak because the workload is expanding.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a good thing. The way I landed on my rhythm was I had to do time blocking.
I was gonna make you talk about this because I've seen your calendar, so I know what it is.
It is so satisfying to me.
I know. I'm a color coordinating freak, so seeing your calendar makes me so happy.
And I picked like colors that I love.
I know you did. I love them also.
So time blocking is this thing. I found out about it through an Enneagram Instagram. I almost said MySpace. I don't know why. But
Deep down you wanted it to be MySpace.
Deep down I wanted it to be MySpace. Come back. No, an Enneagram Instagram account. It was like self-care for the different types. And it, for some... Confession. I almost always only look at the four because that's the one that I am. And
yeah, sometimes, you don't have to look at the other ones if you don't relate.
Well, sometimes I look at the nine because that's what Brandon is. And then sometimes I look at the sixes because my sisters are sixes.
Both of them?
Mm-hmm. Isn't that crazy? They share a birthday like 11 years apart. And then
like the same day?
Yeah, like literal same day.
Whoa, that's kind of freaky.
Yeah. My mom had C-section, so she chose it. I know.
That's a different conversation.
I mostly only look at the fours, so I don't remember what the other ones were, but for the four, it was like, I don't know, like journal, drink water, move your body, and...
Everyone needs to do that, though.
Yeah. And then it was like, time block.
Ooh.
I was like, what is this time blocking thing? And I've always really struggled with being organized. Like, I am not... If you look at my house, you know I'm not an organized person. Like, there's kind of, like, stuff everywhere, and I have the brain of a fox, is, like, how I like to think of it, but my family calls me a squirrel. I think I'm more clever than a squirrel, so I call myself a fox. Where, like, things are kind of everywhere, but I know where they are. Does that make sense? Like...
Yeah.
Everything
it's
has
organized
their...
chaos.
Well, yes, to me. But I'm the only one who knows where things are.
That's the same thing.
And sometimes things get moved and I'm like, wait, I know. And I have to like go into my mind palace to figure it out.
Anyway. No, I'm the same way. That happened today at work. I was on lunch and I come back and there's these two girls frantically looking for something. And they look at me and they're like, where's this one thing? And I was like, I know where it is. And then they're like, I swear, if you go into one box and you find it on the first try, we're going to be pissed. And I was like, okay, well, watch me. And I pulled it out. And they were so impressed, but I was like, no, it's just because I organized this mess. Like, it's a mess, but I've organized it this way.
Right.
Like, I know where everything is. I get
it. Yes. Yeah. So that is my life. And so anyway, time blocking was kind of the key to me being like, okay, where is my free time during the day? Because right now I feel like I don't have any.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like literally went through, I watched this very good YouTube video. I don't remember who did it. But anyway, I watched a YouTube video. I time blocked. Like I just sat at Temple and did it. And it's very helpful. I don't stick with the general schedule, like, every day, but it did, like, give me a visual representation of, like, okay, from this time to this time, kind of off limits, because you are a mom. Mm-hmm. So, like, during the day, you probably can't work, but mm-hmm. when can you work? After dinner. Mm-hmm. Into, and then, like, what time do you need to be going to sleep so that you sleep enough every night so that you're not a crazy person mm-hmm. the rest of the week? So it was very helpful. I literally started with, like, what time do I need to go to bed? And then what time am I going to wake up? And then I filled in the rest of the day based on, like, non-negotiables.
That's a good way to put it, that it's a visual representation. Because if you're mm-hmm. a visual, like, I'm analytical, but I like looking at it.
Yeah.
Like, when I learn songs on piano or whatever, I love the synesthesia videos. I don't know if you can relate. Yes.
Yes.
Oh, because my gosh. It helps me so much more seeing somebody do it. Mm-hmm. But I can figure it out by looking at, like, the sheet or whatever. But
yeah.
If I watch somebody do it and it's color coordinated, duh, mm-hmm. then I can get it way better. And so to block out the time of your life based on, like, your non-negotiables, essentially, is super helpful.
Yeah.
I feel like you have more non-negotiables than I do.
Well, yeah, because, like, you're a mom. Because I'm a mom, like, yeah. there's not a whole lot I can do. From, like, Brandon leaves for work around 8:30, 8:45. And so from, like, then until about 6 when he gets home, it's me and Izzy. Mm-hmm. So I kind of have to, like, devote my focus to, okay, what are we going to do during, like, mom time? Mm-hmm. And then after that, I was then able to be like, okay, I have so many hours at night that I can, like, fit in, you know, my different work responsibilities.
Yeah. It should be noted that people listening, if they don't already know, that we both have freelance jobs on top mm-hmm. of you being a mom. Yeah. And then I have, like, a part-time job that's, like, 25 to 30 hours a week.
Yeah.
So you and I both have, like, this weird not 9-to-5. I mean, you literally are mom every day, so.
Yeah.
But then we also both work for the same company as far as workload for our freelance jobs.
Yeah.
So, and we have different responsibilities, but it's still hard to schedule it out. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about you, how you time block, and I was trying to think of how I would do it, and because I do get my schedule, like, a month in advance.
That's true. But you would just have to kind of update every month.
Yeah. But I was thinking about what I do to find, quote, I'm doing the little bunny ears, quote, work-life balance, is finding things to look forward to and things that are somewhat of a routine. Like, I had somebody tell me recently, like, don't get too settled into a routine because that takes, not the fun out of life, but it kind of takes away from the spontaneity of life. And I said, that is true, but as somebody who liked the routine, like, when I was in school, like, when I was in college, I loved being able to know exactly what I had to do on what day. Yes. And then having a certain amount of time and, like, not having class on Fridays and having weekends off. I miss that a lot.
Oh, yeah.
It's a form of stability, but it's not, like, what's going to make me happy in life. Mm-hmm. That's a whole other thing. But I was thinking about my other job, how it's kind of off and on. And then this other job I have to just do in my free time. And it felt, and then this podcast, a lot, it's really overwhelming.
On top of, like, photography clients and, like,
which those are far and few between nowadays, projects, but still, but, like, wanting to be personal. Yeah, exactly. Wanting to be personal with photography. Like, I did a styled shoot back, I think a month ago today, maybe. A month and a half ago. And I have not finished. There's some parts of it that are done, but I've not finished it. Mm. And it stresses me out to think about it because I want to finish it, but I'm like, it feels selfish to take that time away from my other responsibilities that, like, have to be done and that mm-hmm. I'm getting paid to do.
Yeah. Okay, so this kind of relates to what someone said of, like, realizing the work will always be there. Mm-hmm. So, related to this, like, feeling guilty for finding time for your, like, your personal stuff, I felt very strongly at the beginning of this time blocking thing, I was like, nap time. Nap time needs to be an extra time for me to, like, get work done. Mm-hmm. And what I found was that I hated that because, you know, like, if I'm spending literally my entire day is, like, caring and mothering my son, mm-hmm. which is, like, hard and good work, and I know that I chose this, and I'm happy that I chose this. Yeah. Like, I chose not to go find, like, a desk job or even going back to, like, my old job that I had before I got pregnant and had him, like, I chose not to go back to work. I'm good with that. But you do need, like, some time for yourself. Mm-hmm. And so, like, though that two-hour block, I felt at first like I needed to devote it to work. And I decided, after, like, a week or so doing it, I was like, no, I don't like this. This doesn't mm-hmm. feel good, because I'm spending, like, 2 hours here working, and then the rest of my time working in a different capacity, and then making dinner, and then I spend the evening working.
Yeah.
And then I go to bed, and I do it all over again, and then, like, what, Saturday is my only day to maybe do something for mm-hmm. myself? Anyway, I decided that instead nap time is going to be, like, my personal time, so whether I watch TV during that time lately... I'm so excited about this. I've started writing for my blog again.
That always feels so good.
It feels wonderful. I, like, didn't know where to start, and I finally was just like, I'm going to write something. And I haven't published anything yet, but, like, I'm starting to write little drafts.
Yeah, but just the start.
Oh, and now all of a sudden, like, yeah. I've got a bunch of ideas of stuff that I want to, like, write about.
Yeah.
And, yeah, just doing that was... it's, like, really good, because it gives me, like, one thing for myself, mm-hmm. and, like, sometimes I'll just, like, wash my hair during nap time, because, like, nighttime is kind of taken, you know, yeah. for, like, work and stuff, so, anyway, it's okay to take some, even if it's, like, 2 hours of your day, mm-hmm. it's okay to take that time for, like, a personal project or a passion project of some sort, yeah. because that'll, like, feed you throughout the rest of the work that you have to do.
That's true. It's a rest, in a way. Even yeah. though you're still working but for it's yourself. Like
you're
it's...
playing.
Yeah.
And that is, like, I guess, like, a kind of rest. If all you do is work, then, like, playing is a nice refresher.
Yeah.
Breather.
I like play as a better, mm-hmm. a better word. I remember reading something. I almost... tried to find it before we recorded, but somebody somewhere, and I'm sure many people have said this,
yeah.
have said to, one, not check your work emails or not think about work outside of a certain amount of time. Mm-hmm. So especially for freelancers, yeah. if you're on the go work or if you do any kind of creative work or if you're, like, at home, remote work, yeah, whatever that looks yeah. like, to set actual hours for yourself. One of our coworkers, he has great boundaries too. He's
oh yeah
a workhorse, but he only is like, I do 9-to-5s and I don't do weekends.
And when he said that, he's like, I do not do weekends. I'm sorry. I was like, oh my gosh. Like,
yeah.
I worked weekends the whole time that he shot weddings and I'm not doing it anymore. I was like, yeah. bravo, man. That's yeah. an excellent boundary to have.
Yeah. And to be firm in that boundary is mm-hmm. good too. But even to not look at work emails, like yeah. for me, I constantly check my work email for fun. Like, that's how lame I am. Like, I will check it. Getting a new email is weirdly invigorating. I can't explain why.
It stresses me out every time I get a new work email. I'm like, didn't someone have just texted me?
So that's the thing, is that people you usually text me. Mm. So I'm like, if they're emailing me, it's in a professional matter. And that's exciting to me.
Yeah.
But to not... I'm really bad about emailing clients back at, like, 10 p.m.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and I'm
yeah.
like, I know it looks unprofessional, so I've started to schedule my
emails. I was going to say, there's this thing called Boomerang. I think it's called Boomerang.
Well, Gmail, you could just schedule your drafts to send out at a certain time.
You don't need Boomerang. You've got Gmail.
I've got Gmail. And so I've been scheduling certain emails to go out at certain times so that I don't look crazy.
Yeah.
But I know I do.
You look like you have a work-life balance.
I look like I do. But truthfully, it's me being up at 1 a.m., emailing our clients back, and then scheduling it to send to the whole team wow. at 8 a.m. So when you get an email from me, I scheduled to send that the night before at 1 a.m.
I mean, that's good. Because then hopefully people don't email you that's at 1 true. In the morning expecting a reply.
Oh my gosh, that would be worse, to get the response back at 1 a.m. And then I'm like, oh God, that's embarrassing.
We're both awake. Yeah. We should be asleep.
Yeah. But I want to start doing that at least. Or like actually physically logging out of my emails.
Whoa. Because
mm-hmm. that's what we did for Instagram.
That's true.
To take a break from that. So if you're taking a break from work, you yeah. might as well like cut it out. But not completely.
Log out and then log back in when you're ready to check your email.
Yeah.
I do remember for a while I had turned off my email notifications. And it was great
mm-hmm.
because I would, like, go check my email, like, once a day. and I would just sit and respond to emails when I checked it.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, now what I do is this horrible thing where I get an email, I'll read it, I'll star it, and then I'll forget about it.
Yep.
And then, which is, like, not the point of having the email. But, like, yeah, I'll, like, read and be like, oh, that's a cool, like, brand collab or, you know, like, here's information for, like, my freelance job that I need. Awesome. And then I don't check my email again because I've already checked it in my head. Yeah.
Somebody did say Adderall, which I would not recommend.
Okay. This is going to be a rabbit hole. Uh-oh. Have you seen the Netflix documentary,
The Take Pharmacist? Your Pills? Oh.
No. Sorry.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
The Pharmacist? No, I have not seen it.
I'll go on mine. What's yours about?
It's called Take Your Pills, and it's about these kids who all, like, have Adderall for one reason or another, either to help their ADHD or because they, like, need to be valedictorian and get into an Ivy League college, and so they feel like they need Adderall anyway. And this other person who, like, works in tech, and so he takes it because he has long work hours. It's a whole thing. I guess he's not a kid, but it's a whole thing.
But it's different people.
It follows kind of, like, these different stories of people who are trying to get Adderall because they think it will help. Then also, like, the story of how it was created, how it's used, all of this stuff. And one study that they reference, I've watched this a couple years ago, so I don't remember it, but the thing I remember is that when given a placebo, like, people, they performed exactly the same as people who were on Adderall.
Whoa.
So, like, just the thought that you're on Adderall helps you focus.
That's so scary.
Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy.
Which then makes me think, like, okay, so then why do we need it? I don't know.
I know. Why can't they just give placebos to everyone?
Right?
But I'm also not a doctor.
You also can't lie to people and be like, here's Adderall.
I don't have any science to back that.
I think it was like in a testing, I guess if you have ADHD or ADD or whatever, maybe it really does help you.
Yeah.
But like in a, I need to focus for this test or focus on this, like, and study,
mm-hmm.
like the grades were not significantly different.
Interesting.
Right?
I don't like that.
Those are my thoughts on Adderall. But I've also never taken it before. I don't know. Just, you know, that kind of thing just scares me.
Yeah.
I feel like I've been in the zone before, and that is very satisfying. But that's not part of my life anymore. Working for, like, 3 or 4 hours at a time on, like, this one thing just doesn't happen for me anymore.
See, I barely take probiotics, so I don't see how I could keep up with a prescription.
I mean, yeah, I forget to take my vitamins every day.
Oh my god, I don't even own vitamins.
You need to try the Ollie ones. I love gummy vitamins.
The ones that are at Target that everybody buys, that James Charles, didn't he? No, that was Sugar Bear. No. That's Sugar Bear Hair.
That's, oh, like, my gosh. Sugar Bear Hair. And that was his whole feud with Tati. I know about this. I watched the videos.
Same. I got it confused, and I'm upset that I did.
No, Ollie is the thing that all of the Instagram influencers are always trying to sell you on. Like, yes. It's at Target.
But is it good, though?
Okay, I do not buy those because of the influencers. I bought them before.
Do they taste good?
They are. They're like candy, dude.
Uh-oh.
There are no Smarty Pants, which are the true sugar ones, but I love Ollie.
When you said Smarty Pants, I thought Smarties.
I mean, the Smarty Pants, like gummy vitamins are like, it's literally like eating a gummy bear. It's like that's what it tastes like to me.
See, I like the vitamins though that taste like fruit snacks.
Okay.
Not necessarily a gummy bear. But I like Ollie.
You know what? Now that I'm thinking about it,
I want to try Ritual. It's like a women's, have you heard? That's the one that Instagram influencers are all over. It's a 30, I think there's 30 pills in a bottle. It's kind of expensive, but it's formulated by women for women.
Okay.
And they did research on the top 12 vitamins that were missing in a woman's, an average woman's everyday diet or lifestyle. And they put it in this pill and they're supposed to be like amazing.
Oh.
And I've been following them since the very beginning and still have never tried them. And so to see all these people, it's fine. That's just the pretentious part of me just coming on being like, okay, all you people are fake.
Yeah.
You're not real fans.
Yeah.
You can have your vitamins. I won't have any. No, thank you.
Yeah, I just buy my vitamins.
From Target?
From Target.
Yeah. I told you about Love Wellness, right?
Yes.
Yes.
How did that go?
It's going good. Okay. I don't try it every day, but when I do feel like I'm going to feel gross in the morning, I do take two of the Bye Bye Bloat. And it tastes, I can't describe the taste. Somebody needs to help me. There's a really familiar taste to it.
Ooh.
No, it's not a good.
Oh.
I don't know what it
is.
I was
going to say, is it Flintstone vitamins?
I can't describe.
Is it reminding you of like your childhood? Did you ever take those?
Were they chalky?
They're super chalky.
Yes, I did. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
But these ones are, it's almost like an antibiotic. It like floats and stuff. But the taste, ooh, it feels like, my mind goes to peppermint candy, but it's not peppermint. Oh. So I don't know what I'm getting from it that says peppermint.
Something I don't know. Very herbal.
I have no, every time I take it, it's me holding it in my mouth and being like, what is this taste? Like,
I must figure this out.
And then I just have to swallow it and then I just go on with my day. Mm. Or I go to sleep. But it's good. I like those ones too. How did we get there?
I don't know. But this vitamin talk is reminding me, like, I'm trying to incorporate, like, nightly and morning routines. Mm. This is another thing that is very difficult for me. I'm like a good weekly routine girl. I'm not great at the daily routine, much less the, like, wake up every morning at the same time, make your bed, wash your face, you guys, I have literally tried, and they say, like, pick three things, and I'm like, all right.
What three? What do you mean three things?
Like, pick three things that you're going to do in the morning. And I
feel like that's, I can barely do one. I can barely wake up.
Same. I, like, wake up, and I'm like, all right, that's, like, glasses, brush teeth, vitamins, and I'm like, I make it through, like, two of those things, or one of those things, and I'll, like, leave the bathroom without my contacts and then have to like come back an hour and a half later and do that like when I'm gonna get ready. I know my life would be simpler if I had a morning routine and even an evening routine.
That's smart though. I've never thought about doing just pick three things and just do them. Mm-hmm. I'm always overwhelmed by the enormous amount of things you have to do. Like, well, yeah. I don't eat breakfast or anything, but I don't make my bed every morning. My roommate does and it always stresses me out because her bed's always perfectly made and mine is clearly not.
I'm messy. Like, mm-hmm. I take off my clothes and I don't put them away. Like,
I'm the same way.
I've literally never done it and I'm, like, so old and I know I should be better.
Not old.
I'm 30 years old. Like, I should be able to put my clothes away. Like, fold my jeans at the end of the day and put them back in my drawer.
I do it in one fell swoop. Like, I have a bunch of clothes out.
That's what I end up doing. Yeah. Then there's, like, stuff all over my floor, and I get stressed out, and then I clean it all up, and I'm like, oh, is this what life could be like?
Yes.
My brain could breathe, and I just...
You feel reinvigorated, and then you're like, wow, I can't wait to feel this way again. And then the next time you go to change its clothes back on the floor, it's like...
I just put my clothes on the floor.
Because, like, it's almost like you have, like, this high of... I just cleaned everything that feels so good, as opposed to consistently keeping things clean. Maybe that's what it is. It's just like the rush of cleaning something that's so, so messy.
And then it's like, oh, the satisfaction of like, I did it.
Yes.
Look how difficult that was.
Check.
Instead of just like, let's do this every day so that we don't have to.
Yeah. That's what it is. Maybe that's why I procrastinate in everything that mm-hmm. I do.
One thing that I have done that has helped me a lot, I feel like being a mom like really forces you to do this kind of thing. Like I've had to start meal planning for the week.
That's smart.
And then we like buy the stuff we need and then we mostly stick to it. I lately have been like, we're gonna have leftovers or like breakfast for dinner.
Well, yeah, if you have leftovers, you might as well just have leftovers.
Yeah. But like meal planning and figuring out like what, just an idea of what we're gonna cook at home is very helpful in just, like, what am I going to need at the grocery store when we go shopping? And then, like, every day I don't have to think about, like, oh, what should I have for dinner today? Because that always ends up stressing me out.
I should do that. When I moved out of my parents' house, I told myself I was going to meal plan. I still kind of do that. But, like, the first week we moved in here, I roasted this big, fat pan of vegetables. Mm. And I had... like a week's worth left, and I just ate that all week. Mm. I have not made that since. It was a one and done situation. But I go to Trader Joe's and all I buy are like those burritos because I'm so lazy. Mm-hmm. But I should just start. That's a good idea. I need to do that. I'm going to say this out loud to you and to whoever is listening to this that I will meal prep, I think, is a scarier because that means you're preparing it the whole day before.
And I can't do that. That stresses me out. Cooking for 3 hours? No, thank you. I am an oven girl. So I do not, like,
really cook. But that's still more work than me who pops a freaking chicken sausage burrito in the microwave and calls it dinner.
Okay, yes. It's more than the oven. It's more than, like, microwaving your food. But what I do is, for the most part, I, like, just roast everything. Ugh. I roast our vegetables. I roast our, like, meat protein. Like, we cook fish in the oven. We cook chicken in the oven. Ground turkey and ground beef, we just do.
Stove.
Yeah.
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 That's easy, though.
And, like, rice I'll do on the stove. But literally veggies and meat, all that stuff, I just stick it in the oven. And that's I let the oven do it. It's way easier than trying to cook chicken on the stove and hope that you cooked it all the way through. No, thank you.
That's something, okay, randomly tying back in to our work-play balance.
Ooh.
Was somebody, again, don't know what I'm referencing and just trust that I've read it somewhere, that it was, somebody said you should buy yourself time. And I was like, what does this mean? Ooh. And so they say you should buy yourself time to feel like you have more time in the day. So instead of driving, you get an Uber. Kind of like that concept.
Oh, okay.
So instead of, you can almost like outsourcing your life, mm-hmm. which kind of is counterproductive to whoever you're hiring.
But this is a very millennial thing.
Yes. Yeah. So I hate that I'm saying it, but it kind of helps to, like when I was sick back in September, I couldn't drive. I didn't have my car.
Right.
Couldn't drive. And so instead of like getting up to cook, I had to like Postmates and DoorDash, and I realize why people do that now. It is so much easier because if you have to stay home, and if like for you and I, if we work from home, like at our laptops, I don't want to take that time to go get food or make food when I'm like in the zone, or if I have to get this done by a certain time. So just ordering it on your phone is quick and easy, and it's so simple. But saving yourself time and making yourself feel like you have more time by outsourcing certain things. So even though I'm going to try meal planning. So to tie that back in, your oven, you're outsourcing that to your oven.
I just arrange it. I have these like big cookie sheets now. I used to have like a tiny oven, and so I had like half sheets. Those still work. But now I have like full size roasting sheets. Heck, and they just do all the work for me. And then we have enough for leftovers, which is like even less cooking. It is maybe my biggest hack. Also, would just like to say that my mom, every time I've cooked for her through roasting food, she is always very impressed. And so, like, I have a Latin mother. She's almost
surprised.
She is. She's always like, Nikki, because she calls me Nikki. She's what? Like, my middle name is Nicole.
And so my family,
they always call me Nikki. It's like been a thing my whole life. And so they're like, Nikki, this is so good. Like, this is so delicious. What? Oh my gosh. And I'm like, thanks, Mom.
I'm
like,
sorry. I'm more thrown off by the fact that your parents call you Nikki.
Yeah. My name's Nicole. My middle name's Nicole.
What?
It's just, I don't know if it's a, well, I think it's kind of a Latin thing of like, you get called by your middle name.
I mean, that makes
like
sense.
Like, your middle name is just as important of a name as your first name.
That makes sense.
I have like, actually, I'm trying to, no, my dad is called by his first name. Two of my uncles who technically have the same first name, but a different middle name, and
they go by their middle name. That makes sense. But also, I
have a thousand aunts called Maria with a different middle name, and they all go by their middle name.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
But nobody else in your family is called Alexandra.
No.
They've always called you that?
Yeah, they've always called me Nikki.
Your sister calls you that too?
No, my sister doesn't call me that. Okay. It's like literally just my parents call me Nikki.
Maybe I have heard that when I helped you move. From
maybe my studio. Dad especially calls me Nikki.
Maybe I have heard it, and maybe I think I might have.
You were like, what?
I probably did that. I was like, what? What did he just say?
This is a random story, but once in sixth grade, I would take the bus to school, and my dad like decided to like come and pick me up one day, and this is before the time of cell phones, So yes. This was the year 2000. So not like sixth graders did not have cell phones at this time. And so all of a sudden I'm like getting on the bus to go home and like, I hear someone screaming, Nicole, 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 Nikki, Nikki. And I'm like, that's not my name. So I'm like getting on the bus and somebody like stops me and they're like, is your name Nicole? And I was like, huh? I was like, that's my middle name, because I'm just like an oversharer to the core. And then they're like, I think someone's calling you. And I look and my dad is like waving his arms like crazy trying to get my attention, calling me Nikki.
For what though?
To pick me up so I didn't have to take the bus home.
Oh my gosh, that's so sweet.
Yeah, and I almost forgot, I like almost missed it because I wasn't listening for, you know, like I spend the whole day being called Alex.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's no way you could have just immediately flipped the switch and known that was your dad calling you.
I was like Nicole. 10 or 11.
That's sweet. I wanted people to call me by my middle name, but because it's so difficult.
Did they call you like,
no.
Why not?
I like how you stopped yourself.
I was like, I don't know if it's Mitch or Meech.
It's like, it's Michiko.
Michiko. That is such a good middle name.
It is a good middle name, but to say, hey, what's your name? I cannot say that to someone.
Yeah, you can.
I can, but I'm also not. I also have this thing about being half. Like, because I'm not yes, full. Yes,
you do. I know. You have this weird full, identity it's crisis.
Like, it is. It's a huge identity crisis. But because I'm not full, I feel like if I say Michiko, then they're going to look at me like, what? I mean, I am very clearly some sort of Asian. Yes. But then when people, if I told somebody to call me that, I think they would be confused.
I don't think so.
I tried to shorten it, too. I thought I could be called, like, Coco or Mimi. That's so cute. Right? Because Coco Chanel. But then I was like, oh, maybe Mimi. But my mom's name is Naomi. Mm-hmm. And all of the kids that she babysits and, like, are God's siblings, all my God siblings, that all the ones that I have, I'll call her Mimi. And, like, I'm sure my grandchildren will, not my grandchildren, my children will call her Mimi. So that name's taken. Chi-Chi? No, no. Absolutely not.
No, because you're also, like, I'm not, Mexican. Yeah, so that it's does like, not really work.
It's going back and forth on the line.
I think you could get people to call you Michiko.
I don't. It's too far gone.
I feel I'd like, have to start over. You'd have to, like, move to New York and decide this is going to be my name and just introduce yourself that way.
It'd have to be, like, a Lady Bird move. Like, yes. This is my name. My name's not Sarah. It's Michiko. But even then, it's even hard for me to say sometimes because I think I overthink the pronunciation of it. Mm. But I had a friend. I just was talking about this with somebody recently, like, nicknames. I think because my name is Sarah, there's not much you can do with that.
Yeah.
But, like, my roommates, best friends of my roommates will call me Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
But then that's like all you can really, you can't call me Ra.
Ra. Sorry.
I wish I videotaped that because your shoulder popped when you did it. And it was really, it was, dang. No one's going to be able to see that now.
That was hopefully you heard it in my voice.
They heard your shoulder pop.
Ra. I did a whole like Broadway move.
I really liked it. If people did that to me, if that's what they called me and it came with that move, I'd be okay with it. But people called me Aki. I have a friend who calls me Aki. If I take my future husband's last name, that would no longer be the case. I think that she'd still probably call me Aki.
People still call me Pineda, which is my maiden name.
Because it's a cool name.
Well, it's also a cool name.
It is. I know that. But she calls me Aki. Like, that's, it's just that. It's not like Akiyama, it's Aki, which is cute. I've gotten Aki Mama before. That's one of my least favorites. I've gotten, I was telling this recently to somebody that you and I both get gift cards to a local coffee shop in exchange for endorsements on social media.
Yes.
It sounds way fancier than what it is. It's essentially them just giving us free drinks because we go there all the time.
It's amazing.
It's a great deal. Yeah. But they send us our gift cards in the mail.
Mm-hmm.
And my roommate came home one day and she sent me a video and was like, I'm assuming this is for you. And on the envelope, it said Sarah Aki Jama. Like, pajama, but Akijama. And I thought to myself, I was like,
is this a joke?
Yeah, I was like, maybe the regular guy that sends up didn't write that envelope.
Yeah.
But Akijama. And so then she got one of our friends to call me that. And so I think he calls me Akijama now, but doesn't remember that's why and how,
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then my initials are SMA, so SMA.
SMA.
I thought about trying to do that. I've tried it all.
I still stand by that you could go by your middle name.
I would literally have to start my whole life over to do that, though.
You would. I mean, I would be on board to do
it with you.
And it couldn't be worse than when I tried to get people to call me Allie in seventh grade. Absolutely not. Seventh or eighth
grade. Never happening.
I had moved to a new city, new school.
Oh, so you could have done it.
And I tried. Here's the thing. I tried. And
you
took hold of the opportunity. By the end of the first semester, I was like, I am not an Allie. I'm not an Allie. I am an Alex through and through.
You're not an Alexandra either.
No. Although when I was, but not. When
I
was seven or eight, I like forced, I would not let anyone call me by a middle, like a nickname. I like was like, my name is Alexandra. Like, call me Alexandra. I was very stuck up about it.
I kind of love that, though.
I know. Can you imagine, like, a seven-year-old, like, with big curly hair, just being like, my name is Alexandra.
It's like a Hermione Granger thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah. And then, yeah, I tried to go by Allie for, like, 6 months, and it was awful because my sweet basketball coach at the time was like, cool, like, your name is Allie. And he called me Allie, like, through the end of the season, and by the end of the season, I did not want to be called that anymore.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, why do you have to be so supportive? But
see, that's my fear, is that if I do change my name to whatever I would be called, that I would end up hating it.
Yeah, because you've been called Sarah your whole life.
Yeah. And it's easy. It's already frustrating when people misspell my name, and it's such an easy thing. I get people spell Same. Without an H, but yeah. That's how I think it should be spelled, personally. But so it irritates me when people get that wrong, and I'm like, oh my gosh, if I try to change my name now, and some people are clearly gonna get it wrong,
right? Pronunciation to like a alone. Japanese name,
yeah. Oh my gosh, inside I will not be able to handle that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I still hate it when people spell my name Alejandra or Alexandria. Like, if I get either of those names, it still like irks me a little bit.
I mean, yeah, because that's not your name.
It's not my name, but I get called that still. Mm-hmm.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like Alexandria is almost kind of like, I'll let you have it. But Alejandra is like a completely different... No,
I prefer the Alejandra. Well, yeah. It's nice. I did get this one nickname at work. They started calling me Ale because I worked with a lot of, like, Latin people. And I was like, oh, my gosh. That was, like, cute. The most Latin I've ever felt is being called Ale. Because that is, like, a Spanish nickname for Alexandra or whatever form of that name.
And it's still on track with being Alex.
Yes. It is.
Without the X.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you're not completely wrong. It's not Ali.
No.
Ali is like a definitive end to that name.
Yeah. It just felt, it didn't feel right at all.
Yeah. I remember when I would play like pretend when I was little.
Yes. And you would like come up with your different names.
But I'd pick like, I don't want to say basic names because I know people with these names, but I pick names where it's like, her name's Jessica, so you can call her Jess or Jessie or Jennifer, like Jen or Jenny or Jenna or whatever.
Yeah.
Because, and that was my dream as a kid, was just to be called the most basic 90s names you could think
of. My dream was to be called Brooke. Like, Brooke was my name of choice.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know
That's
why.
A good one. But see, you can't, I guess because you have a lot of options for
I've always nicknames. Liked really short names because I have such a long first name. The
opposite. Yeah. I mean, I like long slash... I like the idea of having a name that you can turn into a real nickname.
Mm-hmm.
That's I never got that.
One of the reasons I liked the name Isaac.
Yeah, Izzy is pretty cute.
Came up with Izzy.
So do you have your three things you're loving?
Oh my gosh. I've been thinking about this all day.
I don't have them. As soon as I asked, I realized like, I haven't thought about
any. I might have two. Maybe I can stretch it to three. First of all, I'm loving this weather. And I'm loving that the sun is out.
Yeah, if you're in Sacramento, you know what she's talking about.
Yes, it is... springtime, and I love it because winter can go away.
Yeah.
Although I do feel like we didn't get enough rain.
Yeah.
In the winter, which is a little scary, but maybe it'll rain in the spring. It's supposed to rain like next Sunday, I think.
Oh. Yes.
Yeah. So I'm loving the sunshine. What's the other thing I'm loving? Oh, I watch a lot of TV, guys. You'll find this out.
Same.
So I started watching the new Netflix documentary called Babies.
Oh, I'm not ready for that.
It is so interesting.
Is it kind of like Boyhood where they film it over the course of like a whole life?
I don't know. I'm only like 2.5 episodes in. But they do follow these, like this group of babies through at least the first year of life. And they kind of just check in. They kind of show you them at different points in time based on the topic that they're discussing. Because it's mostly, like, scientists and researchers talking about, like, babies' development and, like, all of these cool things that we've learned in the last, like, I don't know, 30 years or so? Mm-hmm. Of, like, can, like, their brain and, like, how parents attach to babies and, like, mm-hmm. the bonding and then their food and language and crawling and stuff. I'm loving it.
I'm not ready for that.
It's a lot of cute babies.
Yeah.
I don't know if I have a third one. No, I don't.
Here, I'll try two. Okay. And then if you think of a third, if I spur you into a third.
Ooh, okay.
So, I talked about this maybe first episode, Dr. Dog. Was that first or second? I don't know. I don't even keep track, and I edit this podcast. So went to the concert. I'm going to get emotional talking about it. It was probably one of the best, if not the best concert I've ever been to in my whole life, and I will tell you why. I'll try to make it short. I went with my mother. The show started at, like, 9. Mm-hmm. Doors opened at 8:30, started at 9. So I was, I walked in. It was at the Independent.
Which is a great venue.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah. It's so small that mm-hmm. even in the very back, you're very close yes. for it being, like, a concert. So my mom and I looked up the capacity on the way over, and I was like, how many people does it hold? She was like, it only holds, like, 500 people. And I was like, is that a lot? Like, I have no spatial awareness at all for how yeah. many people can fit in a room. Right. Like, I could not tell you. And so then I was like, well, how much is the Fillmore then? Like, how many people does the Fillmore hold? And she's like, it's, like, 1,300. And now she told me that, and I was like, I think the Fillmore is hella small. Like, yeah. it's tiny. And then I was like, it's smaller than that, so we walk in. And we were, like, some of the first people online. We just figured we'd start waiting because we had eaten. And anyways, we get in. My mom is like, oh, I kind of want to sit, but, like, I know you really, really want to be up there. Just go up there. And I was like, are you sure? She's like, yeah. And she's like, we're not codependent on each other. I was like, we kind of are, but whatever. When it comes to concerts, I don't care to leave anybody behind. Mm-hmm. Sorry. And I go, and I'm like, well, no one's in here. The whole front of the stage is completely open. And so I plopped out front and center.
Wow.
Slightly off center, like, to the right. So I still can see, like, I'm not blocked by anything, but my arms were literally resting on the stage. Like, I was just leaning over, my arms were on the stage, but not, like, so high up. It was, like, my waist, wow. like, chilling. And then the girl who was legitimately front and center to my left, her arms were just, like, on the amps. Like, we were just chilling. It was so small and intimate. And then I started talking to the people that were to my right. It was a couple, and they go to a ton of shows, and they were super nice. And my mom told me later, she's like, yeah, I saw you go down there, and the second you go down, you started talking to people, and she's like, there she goes, making friends. And I was like, you have to. Like, it's a yeah. good experience. And so the opener came on, he was okay, and then finally I start talking to the girl that's, like, front and center, and she was there by herself, and I was like, oh, I'm here with my mom, but, like, I'm up here by myself. Mm. And so her and I, like, kind of became friends, and, like, and then the people to my right, they were just so nice, and the people behind me were nice, and it was just the best crowd I've ever experienced a concert with. Like, nobody was rude, nobody was annoying, like, everyone just really wanted to be there to see this band.
Oh, that's so cool.
And when the band came on, they're amazing, and I'm not just saying that because I just saw them, but they truly are amazing. And they played, like, we got a sneak of this because we were so close to the front. We got to see the set list when they were taping it down.
Oh,
so woo. I was like, oh my gosh, they get to play, like, these songs I've been wanting to hear. And they play, like, 20 songs. And it was the last of a 4-night run. And they didn't repeat any songs. So
that is incredible.
Oh, yeah. They have a ton of music. So my set list that they did for my night was all of, like, the songs that I was really... They didn't play, like, a couple, which I was like, oh, I would have been cool, but there were some songs that I didn't realize I wanted to hear so badly until they played it. And they have so much music that it's like, you're not going to hear everything.
Right.
We watched their concert, and it was amazing. And I couldn't help but, like, smile the whole time. And halfway through, one of the front men was talking about how it's difficult to go up there and start speaking to a crowd. He's like, but I'm in a band with, like, our drummer, and he's talks a lot. And so the drummer takes a mic, and he's like, I've been in this band for 10 years. I've never gotten a chance to, like, talk, which I'm sure is not true. But he goes, like, yeah, I'm hungry. Can you, like, order me pizza so it's, like, waiting when we're done? And so the guy jokes, like, oh, yeah, like, our tour manager, can you get pizza for him? And so then the show goes on. That was, like, halfway through. Second to last song, all of a sudden they're like jamming out, and the front man stops and was like, I guess now's a good time to take a phone call. And he like was, and so his phone was like ringing in his pocket, and then he goes, he's like, hello, answers a phone call, and all of us are kind of confused, like, what's going on? And but it was funny, it like made sense. It wasn't like them being like complete like douches about it, being like, I want to take a call in the middle of my concert because I can do this. He goes, hey, like, he turns to the drummer, he's like, were you serious about pizza? And he's like, yeah, I'm hungry. And he's like, yeah, I guess you want pizza. Hangs up. A bunch of their crew members come out with boxes of steaming hot pizza.
What?
Yes. And so we're like, oh my gosh, like, look at all this pizza they got for the drummer. They start handing out the boxes to the crowd. They fed the entire crowd with pizza.
Stop.
Steaming hot pizza. And it was crazy because being in the front, I was like confused. I was like, what's going on? And they were like passing it over our heads and just being like, here, here, here. And everyone's just taking boxes and just like eating it. And then they had like at least 40 to 50 boxes of pizza that they passed out. And then there was, I noticed earlier in the concert that the crew members had shirts that said Stage Milk. And it was like carton milk with like Stage Milk written in duct tape on the shirt. And I was like, that's such a cool shirt. I wonder what that means. I think it's just like an inside joke that the band has.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden they're serving this pizza. And then these crew members come out with literal gallons of Clover Milk that have Stage Milk written in duct tape on the cartons or like the jugs. And then they were pouring milk to serve to the crowd. So everyone got like pizza and milk.
What?
It was the most wild experience I have ever had.
That's so
and
cool.
And so I like couldn't help but smile, laughing, and like I'm in the front, and so I tried to turn to like see my mom, and I turn and she like makes eye contact with me, and all of a sudden she sticks up her arm and I see a piece of pizza in her hand, and I lost it. She was so happy. She's like, it was good and it was hot. But so then they go on, and then we all know they're gonna have an encore, so they come back, and the few nights before was like a 4-song encore. Somebody, I guess, had thrown a piece of paper at one of the front men and wrote to play a song called The Breeze. Great song. And he's like, okay, guys, I guess we're playing The Breeze. And he goes, if any of you guys have songs you want to hear, just yell them at us or throw it up on a piece of paper. And I'm like, they can't be serious. So they perform. And they were like, okay, what are we playing next? Legit, for their five songs for their encore. They took requests.
That is
so
cool. And they played
all of their top songs were their encore. And their very, very last song was a song that I'd been obsessed with towards the beginning of the month. And to hear it live, because all the other songs I like, I have a live album version of. But the one song that I really wanted to hear, they don't have a live version. And it was so good. I should stop talking about it. But I took the Stage Milk duct tape off of a carton of milk and put it on. I bought a vinyl record and I put it on there. And
heck yeah.
Yeah, it's right there. It's my pride and joy. But that's like, I think I'll just combine that two things is just that band and that concert.
Heck
and
yeah.
Spending it with my mom and coming. She's like, I'm glad you didn't go alone because like that was she. And she was impressed. Like she didn't really listen to them before.
Mm-hmm.
And then when she saw them, she's like, Sarah, I get it. They're amazing. And they really are. I wish I would see them again. So
that's amazing.
Yeah. Anyways, that's my spiel. Maybe that's like all three of my things into one because that was so long, but
I don't have a third thing. I was too engrossed by your story.
I'm so sorry.
The Independent is a really cool venue.
Oh, I fully plan on, there's another concert I'm fully planning on seeing. It's Laura Marling. She's playing there. I don't know.
I think I've seen, so I saw Los Lonely Boys, I think at the Independent years ago. Great choice to go see them. They literally like played. They, like, stood in a line and, like, played each other's guitars.
Oh, I love
it. It was so cool.
It's like a party trick, but
yes,
better.
Like, it was awesome. And it was a great show. And then the other band we've seen there, I didn't know them, like, at all, but I was very impressed by them. They're called Dead Sarah. They're, like, a hard rock band with
that sounds very familiar.
Female frontman. And her voice is so, like, deep and raspy. It's like, it's so good. I was very impressed.
Yes, actually.
And she has like amazing range, but it's like she can like keep this cool growl. I don't know. Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool band and such a cool venue.
Yeah, like, it's the best. Yeah. I highly recommend going. Like, my mom sent me a screenshot of Laura Marling that she's going to be there. And I was like, oh, I'm buying tickets immediately because that venue and I've been wanting to see Laura Marling was literally the next on my list that I was thinking about after Dr. Dog. And then she sent me that and I was like, I immediately was like, shut up. I was like, you do not know how long I've been waiting to see her. And knowing that venue is just, it's so small and it's amazing. So
yeah,
that's mine. But if you don't have a third thing, do you have a friend crush this week too?
No, I haven't thought of anyone. I feel like, I don't know, no one who I follow on Instagram. I feel like I need to maybe follow some more, like, creative people. Because most of the people that I follow are people I know.
Yeah. I have the opposite problem. I follow too many people who I admire and not enough people that I actually do know.
I fall into that comparison trap too quickly, so I just don't follow a lot of people who I don't know. No. It's okay. I'm a bad friend. Friend
crusher. I think I might have one. I mean, it's just like a person that I just follow. I feel like Instagram is just going to be the place to find.
Yeah, that's all how of them. I feel.
But I really like her name is. I've reposted a lot of her stuff or a couple things of hers on our podcast Instagram. We'll plug it later. But it was her name. I don't know her name. Oh my gosh! But her shop is 27 Lakeland.
Ooh,
and it's on Instagram, it's 27 spelled out and then LKLD. So for Lakeland. And she's like a shop and she's just like living the best life. She's an artist and she's coming out with a book of, I think I told you about it. It's like color dots. And so
yes,
it's like themed color schemed dots and they have like associations with each color, which I really like. But her store is like a stationery store and it's a beautiful storefront. There's like an envelope bar in her store. I can't stop stress it. Enough about an it.
Envelope bar?
Yes. And she's like, I think she's a redhead, and which is also my dream. And she is really open about like mental health, which is cool. Mm-hmm. She's really great and I'm really liking a lot of the work she puts out. It's just, it brings a lot of joy to see her stuff pop up because it's colorful and it's also really satisfying and it's enjoyable. It's an escape, but it's also very grounding, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Her name is Jenna. Yes. You can find us on Instagram, Hey Friend Crush Podcast. Mm-hmm. Nope, that's wrong. At Friend Crush Podcast. Email us, heyfriendcrush@gmail.com. You can follow Alex at @tinted_green. You can follow me at Sarah Akiyama. It's
Sarah Akiyama, yeah. Like her name.
And our show notes. There you go. Everything's linked in our show notes also.
You don't even have to spell.
You're so right. But keep crushing it. And we'll talk to you next week.
I don't know. Thanks for listening. I was gonna change the outro.
No, I like that better.